All right, welcome back to Blue by 90. I'm Justin, joined by Jack and Kaylin as always, and we've got a special guest on today. My friend, former, well, Michigan legend, softball legend. Do you call yourself that?
No.
All right. Sierra Romero, we appreciate you coming on. It's good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys. I'm excited to be on the podcast.
For sure. Sierra, are you and Justin actually friends, or are you just friends with Jacqueline and doing him a favor?
Yeah, I feel like he just made that up.
Yeah,
no, he does that a lot. We're actually friends. We're friends. Okay. Yes.
I just tag along to whatever is going on, mm-hmm. You know, I plug myself into situations. So, yeah.
Just blink twice if you need help.
Okay. I will.
The reason that I wanted to have you on our podcast is because you're doing your own podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So you kind of have like your own thing, but you're also doing a bunch of other podcasts too, right? You're all over the place.
Yeah. So I started mine called The Secret Sauce, and then that quickly had like a quick pause to it because all of a sudden I got approached by Perfect Game, which they're more so known for Perfect Game Baseball, but now they have Perfect Game Softball as well. So I've actually been working with them now doing their podcast. So I got to figure out that balance of getting both in and getting the content that I need. But of course, it was like right as Secret Sauce started to take off, I was like, I was moving and all these other things were going on. And then I got approached by them and I was like, okay, I need to figure out how I'm going to do this.
People don't realize how hard it is for us podcasters out here, you know? I mean, there are a lot of people out there that are like, oh my God, it's so hard to be an athlete. But people don't realize that you have to be a premium type of human being to do what we do.
You definitely do. You do. I'm not going to lie. You do. You have to be able to come up with a lot of stuff. I'm not going to lie.
Hey, yeah.
So what's hours that in the gym, vocal cord training or whatever, right, to do your podcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was actually going back to some of the funniest things were when you were at Michigan and you guys in the summer, would like work those camps and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Jacqueline looks a lot like you, especially when she's tan.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing was how many girls, like little girls, would come up to Jacqueline and be like, are you Sierra Romero? And like, after a while, Jacqueline was just signing your name.
Yeah. Like, She told me, she was like, I get approached so many times by you or saying that, are you Sierra, whatever. And then I just sign and I say, yeah, I'm her. I take a picture and I'm like, hey, whatever works. It's funny though, because it was like, that always happened. It was like me, Crummy, and that would happen with Sweet too.
Yeah, yeah.
And so sometimes people would actually come to me and like, are you Lauren Sweet? And I'm like, am I lefty? Like, no, no, but yeah, sure. I'll be Sweet.
I feel so awful funny. For that. Whoever, you know, came up to Jacqueline, got a picture and autograph, and like framed in their room. Just for somebody to come over and be like, hey, that's not her.
That's not her.
No, they're just learning right now.
Yeah, what? Right now.
Looking back at the picture.
Somebody's probably listening right now for sure, finding that out.
Everyone's going back to their pictures in their phone, like, wait a minute, did I get the right person?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, though, like obviously the podcast thing, you're doing that, but I feel like I want you to kind of be able to give an update on what the hell you've been up to for the past however many years, because, you know, a lot of Michigan fans out there, I saw you when you were playing and then you kind of went into MPF, injuries happened. It's been a long road of rehab. I know that for sure, but you know, to be honest, I feel like to a lot of people, you probably like went zero dark 30 for a while and now here you are. So tell us what's happened over the past, 5 years?
Yeah. Don't remind me. I literally just had a birthday in March and I'm like, there's no way. I still feel like I'm 21. Yeah. But yeah, so I graduated and then I went straight into NPF and that was great. And, you know, everything was good there. I was traveling, I was playing and life was good. I had good sponsors and I was really blessed with that. And then I got hurt and I tore my ACL, medial lateral meniscus, and it did not heal correctly. Had 3 surgeries to fix it and a lot of rehab. But like during that time, like that was like, man, after surgery, I think we didn't realize I needed a second surgery until like 6 months in. So it was like
you rehab the shit out of it, right?
Like, yeah, I was in rehab like 24/7, like there was times where I was there for like 3 hours because we were just trying to get my knee straight, and we couldn't get my knee straight, so we were forcing it, and then just like all kinds of stuff, man. Like, I mean, like, it's crazy because they talk about like mental health, right, and all that stuff is really big right now, and athletes paying more attention to it, and I mentally was going through it, like, you know, just I became a little more just like dependent on like everything else. Like, it was weird. It was like I would go into rehab and just mentally, like, I would check out. Like, it was just the weirdest thing. I don't even know how to explain it. And so I had to kind of take a step back, reevaluate myself and like what I wanted to get out of it. And then also figure out, like, do I even want to go through with all these surgeries and try to play again? Or do I just want to be happy that I can walk, you know what I mean? Even if it's not the most comfortable thing. So I really had to relearn how to walk, because I started to walk like flat footed, and it caused a lot of pain with like hip and back. And so all these other things started to happen. So we had to quickly like nip that in the butt. And then I had two more surgeries after my ACL surgery. And then after the last one, it finally all came together. And best thing I did was go to my trainer, Nick Womble. He's really big on like knee over toe stuff. And it was painful. It hurt really bad, but like I needed it. I needed to be able to get into those uncomfortable positions. And so while I was going through all that, I kind of like stepped away from social media and stuff. Like, I still have my sponsors, but I wasn't really keeping people updated because it was always bad news. And so I was kind of just like, forget it. Like, I'm over this. And so I kind of put a little bit of stuff out there, but I didn't really show a lot. I just kind of got into like my own little zone, and I was just kind of going through it. And so I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to deal with this. I don't know what else to do. So I'm just going to definitely stay away from social media, because that doesn't help at all. Cause you know, I see all my friends and what they're doing, and I'm like, man, I wish I was doing that. And it just didn't help, you know, just for my own mental well-being. And so, you know, I got back. I'm completely healed now. I tried to get cleared early to play for Team Mexico and try to go for the Olympics. And I begged my doctor to clear me, and he did. And I probably shouldn't have been cleared, but I tried playing at like a good, probably like 60%, and it wasn't bad. Like, I played pretty well, but like not very good. Like, not like Olympic status. Yeah. And so I didn't get to go. But I was just pumped that I got to play. And at that time it had been, I don't even know, like 2 years since I had played in a game.
Wow.
So this year when I play with Athletes Unlimited, this will be the first year. I mean, I don't even know. I'd have to go back and count, but probably almost 3 years since I've played at 100%.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, like, looking back on where you were at coming out of your senior year, like, that, this is like the last thing I would have guessed. Right. And I'm sure you're the same, you know? And so that's why I just like, I do feel bad. I think it sucks ass. I think it's like, it was one of those things where you were ready to take that next step, and it just had to go on the back burner, and you had to go through all this stuff, and it sucked. So I'm super pumped to see that you're like to that point to be back. I'm sure that a ton of fans out there are as well. I'm sure your sponsors are too. So I expect that now that you're coming back for AU, it's going to be sold out crowds and all that, and people will be pumped to see you.
I'm so excited. It's been way too long. And I was like, you know how they say like typically like injuries will happen like when you're in the best shape ever, like everything for you is going right. Like, I was in such good shape. Like, you know what I mean? It was one of those things like, why, like, how did this even happen? Like, I feel the most athletic I've ever been. I'm the strongest I've ever been, you know, just so healthy. And then just freak accident. And it was in like a freaking scrimmage, like just stupid.
That's always when that shit happens too.
It was so dumb. Like, I almost didn't even play that game. I was like, I almost asked to like sit down because I was like, I'm tired from training. So like, I just didn't want to play. Like, I was like, this is no point. Like, I'm already exhausted. And so I'm like, dang, I wish I would have. But instead I played. And of course, you know, on the play that it happened, like, I did not need to be going full speed, but I'm in game mode. How do I turn that off? So, but it's all right. And I'm excited to get back, and I'm excited to be a part of AU because I got to see it one weekend, and obviously I've watched on TV, and it seems pretty amazing.
So for idiots like me, what is AU? Are you what league is it you're playing in now?
So it's called Athletes Unlimited. Okay. This will be the third year of it, and it's really interesting because it's actually like a point system. So every athlete is trying to like rack up these points, and okay. the athlete with the most points is considered the best one, right? But whatever your points are, that's like how much you get paid out. Not that exact number. Everything adds up, and that's how the athlete ends up getting paid. But you can get docked for errors. You get points for home runs, points for base hits. You know, if you're a pitcher, for strike, like all these different things. You know, you can lose if you have earned run. So, or not lose points if you have an earned run. But like ultimately, you want to be on a winning team because you get the most points if your team wins. So that's how they keep it from being very like selfish, like, oh, just about me. Because you could have a great game, but ideally you want your team to win because you're going to have way more points if you guys win than you would even if you have, you know, a 3-for-4, 4-for-4 game. So
I was curious. Really cool. I was going to say, when you started talking about the point system, I'm like, man, this really sounds like a me league. And, but with the team, you know, wins getting points on top of that, dude, they got to start doing that for like MVP voting. In like major leagues and stuff too.
So they do. It's all women's sports. So they have softball, they have basketball, they have volleyball and lacrosse. Okay. And I don't know if they're adding more or not, but I believe those are the four. And basketball and volleyball are happening, and it was a big hit. And they do such a good job just with like setup and everything else. When I went out there for a weekend this past season and watched my sister, it was insane. I was like, I felt like I was at like a college game again, which that's is because awesome. They said they do a good job. Like in college, it's amazing with the setup and the fields, and they're playing at in Rosemont. And so like that pro stadium is beautiful, and the setup, everything they have there, it's like top tier. So I was really excited.
So all the teams play on one site, right?
Yeah. That's also nice. Yeah. We all are on the same field. What's cool about it is like, there's a draft. So you're never technically on the same team twice. Like you might be with the same players, like if you all get drafted to the same team, but it's not going to probably be the identical team because someone's going to get, you know, stolen from this person. This person's going to take them. So there's a draft at the end of every week. And sometimes it's like, you know, I'm going to take my chances on her, even if she's not playing well, or it's like, oh, she's really hot right now. I'm going to try to draft her. So it's really interesting.
That's dope. This
honestly sounds like the best thing ever to gamble on.
Like, yes
honestly, it would be so much fun because there's just like chaos, and like if you're betting on somebody like they should just be like focusing on that because the system is set up for that.
It really is, especially just because it's like you never know who's going to be on what team the next week. Like you don't know anything, you don't know, you know, players have all like same thing, nagging injuries, or you know, some people are having a good, it's just, it's hard because you're also the not being on the same team every week. You don't get to be comfortable. Like you don't get to just be like, okay, I know this player. I know how she throws from the outfield in to me at the cut. Like I'm going to have to get to learn everyone every single week. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's constantly going to be changing. So there's going to be a lot of scouting going on. That's for sure.
And so Sid's been playing in the league. Haley Wagner was playing in it as well, right?
Yes, she's in it. And then Chitty's been in it. Okay. Abby has been in it. I'm trying to think what other Michigan. I think that's it.
Yeah. And Chitty played for in the Olympics too, which was awesome to see her. That was so cool as well. But no, this is killing it, of course. I love Chitty always. That's a super cool league, super cool idea. And I'm excited to see what happens there. For sure. Obviously, it'll be good. Are you playing on the same team as Sid?
Well, depends.
It depends on the week, right?
It depends on the week. And I told her, I said, Sid, if for some reason I'm a captain, if you're not playing well, like I'm not picking you. Like I'm not picking you just because you're my sister. I'm trying to win. So I was like, no hard feelings. I was like, same for you. If you're a captain and I'm not playing well, you don't got to pick me.
Yeah. Dad would be very proud of you saying that. Yeah. The competitor and your dad.
Yeah. Sure. My dad's going to watch this and he's going to be like, yeah, damn right. Like, yeah, pick her if she sucks.
100%. 100%. So, all right, let's go back to, you know, your career at Michigan too, where a lot of people that listen to this pod would have seen you. Like, tons of accomplishments, tons of great games, College World Series, all those things. What was your favorite moment? Do you have like one specific moment that you're like, yeah, I remember that. That's what it was.
Ooh. There are probably two that stick out the most, and it was probably going to the World Series my freshman year, just because I really don't think anybody thought that we would. Yep. I feel like a lot of people were shocked. I think that we were like that wild card, like, wait, what? Like, how did that happen? And so that was definitely a big moment. And I was a freshman when that happened. So, you know, I get to Oklahoma City, like big eyes, just like, whoa, like this is insane. So definitely that. But the other one was probably, you know, we always have a thing against UCLA, but like that, I think my sophomore year was the only year we didn't go. We went junior, senior year. We played UCLA. I think it was my junior year. It was a really good game. And I remember at one point, like we were losing, and I just remember us like running back into the dugout, and they had just scored like a couple runs. And this is when, you know, a team is like just scary good. Like they're like on their shit. Like we get into the circle and we all looked at each other because they just scored a couple runs. And I just remember we all looked at each other like, they really think they're going to win right now. Like, okay, all right. Like we all kind of just like laughed. Like, yeah. Okay, cool. You got 3 runs. We're about to go get 10. And like, we literally got, I don't even know how many we got, but we just went on like a rampage. We just started going. That confidence, like I'll never forget that, just because that was just like such a cool moment. Like we just all ran in like, no. You're not winning this game. It's not going to happen. Like literally it's not possible. So I just thought that was really cool.
I mean, your guys' teams back in those days too, you were so good, and the firepower too, no matter, you could be down 7 runs and you're still coming back. Right. Which like, let's be honest. If for people that are watching Michigan softball right now, that firepower is just not theirs. Pitching has been there, but they haven't been able to hit as well. And I go back to what you guys were able to do, and just like, it didn't matter. It really did not matter. And you guys would string together like 8, 9, 10 run innings all the time.
We were just so scrappy, but like, not even that. We were just like super selfless. Like I remember at one point I was not getting pitched to. And so yeah. we were taking people out of their comfort zone in the lineup, whether they were 1, 2, 4, 5, 8, whatever it was, and moving people around, whether it was like, okay, we want to get this person on because they're going to walk her here. Like, and so just seeing everybody like rally behind it, like, yeah, we're going to make this work. And then it worked to the point where like people literally couldn't try to work around us. It was like, oh, right. Shoot, like we have to go at everybody. Like we can't take anybody off. And for a while, it was almost like they doubted the rest of our lineup. And I'm like, yeah, don't do that. And then it was like, all of a sudden they realized really quick, like, okay, yeah, we can't mess with them like this. And so I think that even gave other players on our team even more confidence, because they got that confidence boost of like, you know, I need to put the team on my back right now, right, and do this. And a lot of the girls did. So that was really cool to see.
And what was that like playing for Hutch too? I mean, you talk about even just that lineup change. I mean, she figured it out to make you guys the best team that you were, right? So what was it like playing for a legend like Carol Hutchins at Michigan?
She's awesome. She definitely knew how to press my buttons, and she would be the first one to tell you that. I always played a little bit better when I was mad. So if I wasn't playing well or something, she would always have like a little remark to just get me a little pissed off. And so she knew exactly what to say. I'll never forget, we were playing Florida State, and I also did not like them when I was in college. And I think I struck out like the most ever in one game. And I'm pretty sure it was off of my friend, Jessica Burrows. And I think I struck out like 3 times in a row, and I walked back into the dugout, and Hutch like looked at me and she's like, did she just strike you out 3 times? And I was like,
I'd be like pissed.
I think I just looked at her and I just was like, yeah. And like walked straight to the, like, to the water. Like I was like, oh, I was fuming. I was no. Like, and I'm not someone to like talk to after I strike out. Like, just let me go get a drink of water. Let me calm down for a second. And she just said that. And I was like, wow, I hit a home run my last at bat. But I like, I was so, so mad when she said that. And so it was funny because she knows, like she reads her players. She knows like when you need to hear like encouraging words, or it's like, you need to kick
need
the
to
butt.
Be shit talked
like,
a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, get out of your head. Like, come on.
I think so. she definitely prefers the shit talking. She's better. She's a lot better at that. She's not that good at consoling people. I'll tell you that right.
Yeah.
I've definitely had the pleasure maybe once or twice on the periphery, and she's very intense. Very intense.
Oh, she's very intense. And that's what I loved about her. Like, when I was getting recruited, the very first game I watched Michigan play, she got thrown out. And I was like, oh yeah, I want to play for her. And she was just like fired up, like in the umpire's face. Like, we call them Hutchisms, and there's things like we would just remember and things that she would say. We're like, yeah, put that in the Hutchism book because that's a good one. Like, whatever smart remarks she said to somebody. So I love it.
I remember you guys would always try to like prank her, whether it was somebody like hiding in the laundry basket when mm-hmm. she walked in the locker room or some shit like that. Do you, mm-hmm. was there a good one that you remember of that?
So I guess this technically is a prank because we did it to try to like get out of practice. but it was a nice gesture. So we had a pizza delivered to the field. And that was when like that pizza thing was like, remember, do you remember that? The like pizza yes. thing, it was like, we'd go to the base and sprinkle cheese, whatever.
Oh yeah.
And so we had a big, huge pizza. I don't remember what the place was called, but it was somewhere in Ann Arbor. They make those huge pizzas.
What,
and we
big
had,
Ben, I think?
Maybe it was huge. Like the biggest pizza I've ever seen in my life. Yep. And it had all kinds of pepperoni. And I don't remember what it said on it. It said something on it, but we had them spell something out in pepperoni and had them literally walk on the field and deliver it. And she just was like, and we were like,
what
oh God,
the fuck are you
yeah,
doing?
Like, what are you doing? And she let us all stop and have pizza. So it kind of worked. So
all worked
it
out.
Was good. It all was well. We were fine. We were a little bit nervous. We were all sweating a little bit, but yeah. It worked out in our favor.
Oh my God. That's like that's a risk reward, like high risk, you know, but also high reward type of situation.
There was one time we all stayed, I think it might have been April Fool's, I really don't know. We all hid, you know, you've seen our lockers, they're huge. We all hid in our lockers and closed the door and practice started and we all committed. We were like, nobody budge. Like, if you need to commit to this. So everybody stayed in the locker room and closed the door. You heard someone walk in and you saw nobody in there. The lights are off. Like, so the coaches are like, where are our athletes? Like, where is everyone? And then I remember, I think that was when Nikki Nemitz was there. And yeah. She walked in and was like, you guys better go now. Hutch is pissed. And we were like, oh, no, oh, no, no, no. Like, oh, okay, shit. We're done. Like, abort mission. Everybody out. Go. Go
well,
to the field.
Kinda, it depends, like, on the day for her. If you catch her on a good day, then that's going to be – she's going to love it, and it's going to be super funny.
Oh, yeah.
But if you don't catch her on a good day, then
– that's bad news.
Yeah, yeah. It's not great. The one other thing I'll say about your career at Michigan, one game I remember specifically, there were some personal things between you guys and Northwestern in one game, and they would not stop throwing at you. It was like four at-bats in a row that they were throwing at you, and I honestly thought there was going to be a brawl.
I was ready. That was probably the closest I've ever – well, no. I feel like I always do. I get a little intense. I get a little intense sometimes. I'm probably dramatic.
No.
I'm probably a little dramatic. I probably like someone could probably tap me and I'm like, oh, that was way too hard. No, no, no. It's just game mode. Feels a lot harder than it probably was. But yeah, I just, you know, whether they were trying to throw at me or not, they hit me like four times.
Yeah.
And it was, I remember getting hit in the head. I remember I got hit like square in the back. Like it was just like squared up, like not even like, God. It was just, I couldn't get
it was
out the way.
Cold ass day. I remember too.
It hurt. It hurt. Oh my and God. I think that was also when they had like some of the football players or something like traveled and they were chanting like overrated.
Yes. That's
the
right. Oh my
so
God. You're
I'm
right.
Like, I was literally up to bat and all I hear is overrated. And I was like,
you're like, I'm in
why,
Ann Arbor.
That's why you're hitting me. That's why you're putting me on base. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was. I just remember things got really intense. Like the girls were chirping. Hutch was. All the coaches were. I remember I got hit, and then I got on base, and I remember Hutch gave me steal, and I was like, "Oh, let's. I'm messing with them. I'm so messing with them. I stole. There was a pass ball. I go again. I like made it all the way home, and I'm like, "Well, I didn't even have to hit the ball. Like."
That was one of those ones too. I remember. I think you guys did score like quite a few in one inning too, and poured it on them at the end, which and I'm sure you guys, the fans, like Hutch, everybody was just like, we'll score 100 today.
Yeah. No, yeah, there was like, at that point we were like, no mercy. Like, let's go. Yeah. We're going to just keep going and racking the runs up. So that was a fun game. I love that. I love those kind of games, but
you were an ultimate shit talker. I'll say that.
I was. Still I was are, not, probably. I was not afraid to run my mouth. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Is Sid like that? Sid seems so sweet. What happened between the two of you?
Sid's just like, what's funny is she's sweet until like she's not. Like to the siblings, like you'll see that side. But I've seen Sydney get worked up, whether it's like Oklahoma, Texas games, like those kind of games. Like I've seen her, you know, someone give a little shove and she'll shove right back. So it's like, don't get her past that point, because once she gets past that point, then you'll see that side that like I have. Me, it's just like, you can give me a look and you're going to see that side. I'm not going to hold it back.
Is she like in the other room ready to come share some stories too?
I wish. She's at prep. Let's see what time is it. Yeah, she's at practice right now. Oh. Otherwise, I would tell her to come in here.
Yeah, there you go. I think a lot of softball fans specifically know you and Sid, but I feel like a lot of people don't know about Mikey. And Mikey is coming up, about to be like an unreal draft pick. He's been killing it lately, doing stuff with Perfect Game as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they cover him a lot. He's been a big face for Perfect Game for a few years now, him and a lot of the other guys too that are some of the first round draft pick hopefuls. And so we'll see. But yeah, he's good. I'm not going to lie.
I swear the only time I ever saw him, I mean, this was, it's again, we're old now, but like he was just a little guy. And now he's almost a full grown man at this point.
He's like, I don't even know how tall he is now. He's like 6'1", 6'2". And he like walks around the house and he's like flexing everywhere he goes. I'm like, dude, just breathe. You can breathe. Like, you don't need to be flexing every time you walk downstairs.
He's gone full fuckboy.
Yeah, he's just like, whatever. You know, I'm good. Like, I'm like, dude. And he'll literally be like, Sierra, come feel my muscles. I'm like, oh my God, I cannot. You're literally so annoying.
You know he got that from you though, right?
I know. I cannot be mad. I literally can't be mad. I went home this last time and he changed something like hair color to his hair. And I was like, did you change your hair color? Like, I thought it was like a little more blonde last time. And he was like, oh yeah, I did. And he's like, you like it? I was like, yeah, it looks really good. And he like kind of like messed with it. He's like, thanks. I'm like, oh God. I'm like, little pretty boy.
Yeah.
That's so amazing. Where is he playing at? Is he like at IMG or something, or playing like East Cobb or anything?
So
like
he's at Orange Lutheran in California, which is a private school in the Trinity League. And so it's a really good baseball school, good baseball league in general. But that's where he is. It's actually crazy. I've only gotten to go to like a couple of his games out there, but every time I go, there's like at least 5 MLB scouts there. Like, it's insane. Cause his whole team, it's not just him, it's his whole team. They're freaking good. Like all the athletes. So it's really cool to see. But he transferred from Vista. I don't remember what year it was. He transferred from Vista to the Trinity League at some point in high school. Just to get that experience and everything else. Yeah. He's a senior.
And has he, obviously, you know, who knows with baseball and the draft, has he committed somewhere?
LSU.
LSU. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. So,
yeah, he was at Arizona, and then his coach went over to LSU, so he followed.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, baseball is so weird with all that, because you just never, like, you can commit somewhere and never, you know, go there.
Yeah.
Stuff, right.
So, cool. I mean, your family obviously has been very successful, so it's really cool for the baby to also see a bunch of success. And I'm sure for you older sisters and your mom and dad, you're just like, he's not the baby anymore, but he's still baby brother, right?
Yeah. I used to be able to beat him up. Now I can't. Now he'll be like, hey, you want a box? I'm like, no. No, I do not. Please don't.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's funny. I wanted to talk about your sponsors too. You have awesome sponsors. You're wearing one right now, New Balance, DeMarini, you know, Wilson. I feel like if I'm saying I'm wrong, yell at me. But
so the only one that's wrong now, I was with Wilson DeMarini for 6 years. So I'm not with them anymore.
Gotcha.
I have a new one. I just can't announce it yet.
Oh, you don't want breaking news on the podcast?
Only because the contract's not signed. If the contract was signed, sure, I totally would. Right. But until the contract's signed, I will not.
You can text me as soon as you sign that contract. We'll post it on social when you text me.
Okay? Yeah, who'll get a screenshot up there?
Yeah,
you can tell us, and we'll bleep it out, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I'll name them. I'll say it, and then if you bleep it out, like, that's fine.
I don't really want to go in here.
You don't need to be editing that because one will forget.
That just sounds like more work for me to go and find it.
I understand. But yeah, I got New Balance. I'm with Signing Day Sports, which is a recruiting app, just to try to help athletes who maybe can't go get in front of coaches find a different way to get recruited. And then I have Essentia Water. They've been awesome. Liquid IV. I said New Balance. And then I have the other sponsor who is going to be for bat and glove. Same sponsor. Am I missing?
You better.
I hope I'm not missing. Yeah. I think I'm good.
So the New Balance one, you did a shoot. Who did you do a shoot with? This was a few years ago now. I think an MLB player. Was it Stroman?
Lindor.
Francisco Lindor.
That's yeah. Right. New Balance. It was awesome. New Balance did a collab with Big League Chew. And so they asked Lindor and I to go out, and we had like these really cool uniforms on, and they did the shoe specs, like slides, cleats, everything. So I got to meet him, and then we did like an event at like a Dick's Sporting Goods. That was really cool too. And him and I went out, we did like cage time with some athletes and baseball, softball players, and then just signed autographs and like hung out with the kids. Oh my gosh. I almost forgot one of my bigger sweet spot. I'm with Sweet Spot. It's a training bat, but it's plastic. And so the best way that people will describe it is it's similar to wiffle ball, but it's not wiffle ball. Like it's training for training purposes. The ball is like insane. They call it the space ball. It's really cool. You should be seeing it in like Shields and Dicks and stuff like that here soon. Right, I think maybe even Target.
I'll go back in, I'll edit it so that it sounds like you said that right away too.
It's fine. It's fine. It's okay. It's all right.
No, that's cool. I mean, I think that obviously sponsors are great, right? But I think it's cool that you've gotten to experience a bunch of cool things with your sponsors too.
Yeah.
Not even just sponsors, but just in general, like throughout your Michigan career, plus, you know, what you've done post college, what's like the coolest moment where you're like, wow, I am like, obviously you're your own like celeb, you know, I'll admit that a little bit, but like where you're like, holy shit, I'm with like some big time people right now.
The two biggest ones were probably having my own glove. So I had my own glove with Wilson. So SR32.
That was like, I was like, holy shit, to be honest, even myself. Obviously, I've known that you're a big deal, but I was like, that's a really freaking big deal to have your own glove. That was one of the coolest things that I've ever seen, to be honest.
And just to give you guys a little hint, I will have an SR32 with this new company.
Ooh,
and it's going to be nice. So just wait. So be ready for that. But the glove was definitely a big deal. I was like, no way. Like I have my own glove. Like it's in stores. Cool. It's online. Like it says my name on it. Like it was just crazy. Like I see people buying it. I see people using it. Like it was just insane. I've seen college athletes use it. I've seen a bunch of travel ball athletes.
I mean, that's like on par for any other sport. Like people wearing LeBrons, like people wearing Kobe's, you know, people like using for softball specifically, like Cat Osterman always had the glove, always had the bat, like those types of things. But like, I think that is on par with that, which because it's softball, unfortunately, like it doesn't get as much recognition as a LeBron, obviously, but like it's to that extent, which I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like when they've been expanding it like on like the Wilson side, like there's a lot of other girls that are coming out with gloves. A lot of them are from the Olympic team. I think there's more now, but what was cool was like I kind of got to be like that, like guinea pig, I guess, to see how it would go. And it went really well. Like I got to see the sales, I got to see the numbers, and I'm like, dang, like this thing does well. Like it does, it was really cool to see. I'm like, this isn't just like a, you know, just, okay, only put out 50 gloves and that's it. Like there's a, you know, there's a lot going into this. And then the other thing was probably my cleat with New Balance. As far as I know, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, no, they haven't. New Balance has never had a like signature softball cleat. And so I was the first one. And so it was really cool just to, they've had a softball, a fast pitch cleat, but never like a signature one for a softball player. So it was really cool. And, I have a turf coming out as well.
Awesome. Well, that's on par too. In the same sentence, that's on par. Like I had the New Balance Miggies. So like, that's so cool that a girl can go out there and get the New Balance Romos. So very cool.
Did you play any part in designing your glove?
Oh yeah. The whole thing. Yeah.
That's awesome.
What was nice was like, if I was working with someone like at Wilson, it would be like Ryan. And so something maybe new that they were coming out with, like to change up the glove, he would tell me like, hey, we're going to go this route for whatever. Do you want to add this? Do you not? And they would either send like a sample. I would test it. And if I liked it, maybe I kept it. There were certain like modifications that I made on mine specifically, whether it was like the fingers, just because growing up, like I always had to use a baseball glove. And what was always tough was keeping my hand in it. Like if I put my hand down, that thing fell right off because it's made for a man's hand. Like my hand's not that big. So that was like the first thing. I was like, we need to make it a little more snug because this thing shouldn't come flying off. Yeah. So, you know, just little adjustments like that, making sure it was just light enough and the pocket and really being able to like trap a softball in there, just because there's so many times where you'd be fielding or catching and maybe you feel like the softball's spinning out or if it's like about to pop out and not actually stick and get stuck in the glove. So it was really cool because I got to completely help with like all of it and all the way down to like colors, like especially the colors, the actual colors and everything, like that was me. So that was really cool, like just to be able to take that control and be like, I want it to look like this, and then be like, hey, like what, literally whatever you want, just make it. And I was like, okay.
Have the Romeros ever thought of doing like a big baller brand, like the ball?
Your dad would love that.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. I mean, my dad's got his like own thing. He's got his All-American Hitting. So I see people with shirts that say All-American Hitting. So I mean, and he got the cage set up in the backyard and everything. So he's doing well with that. Everyone goes to him for hitting tips and everything else. He's busy 24/7. I'll come home and I'm like, dang, Dad, you should probably relax a little bit, like cut back a little bit on the lessons.
I'm trying to like sit out and talk with you.
Yeah, like I don't get to hang out with you because you're just out there sitting there doing your lessons and stuff. So, but yeah, that would be cool. There is there's like a little collab with Sydney in the works. So
hey,
can't say that yet, but there is something we're working on.
A lot in the works. I like it. I like it. Yeah, I mean it's been cool to watch all of those things happen. Especially like I'm sure obviously for me knowing you when you were a freshman and like all those things, like yes, you were obviously a big recruit, but you weren't seven different sponsors at when you were 18, right? So it's been cool to watch you grow into that. You know, even before that though, was there a moment, and not to just like keep just pumping your ego, Sid's gonna have to
keep going,
the doorway to get your head through it at this point after this interview. But when you were getting recruited or in high school or whatever, was there a moment where you were like, "Oh, I'm like kind of the shit." You knew that you like made it, or you knew you were like top tier.
Yeah, playing for the Batbusters in Orange County definitely helped a ton. When I went to the Batbusters, like I was just some girl from California. Like I didn't make a name for myself yet. Like I knew I was good. I knew I was a good athlete, but like I hadn't challenged myself yet. And so going to the Batbusters, playing for Mike Stith and Gary Hanning at the time, like that team that I was on was insane. Like when I went to that team, I remember my dad talking to me like, you may not start and you need to be okay with that. Like you need to work your ass off and like that you need to like take all of this in, learn from them and just like figure it out, because I had never played on a team like this before. I mean, Cheyenne Coyle was on that team. Coley was on that team.
Yeah.
Who else was on that team? Amber Freeman was on that team. Like, it was just insane, the athletes that were on that team. And so I went in, I remember, you know, there's Florida, there's UCLA, there's all these big schools, and I didn't have a school yet. I'm just trying to figure it out. And once I got on that team, my confidence just like went through the roof, because even when it was crazy, I remember we would suck. Like, we'd have a bad practice. And I remember, it was probably Cheyenne, honestly, because the confidence was just through the roof. I just remember her being like, yeah, you know, I suck today, but like, I'm still better than most people. And I was like, well, okay. Yes, you are. Like, you're not wrong at all. And so it's just like being around those type of athletes and having that confidence, like, that, to me, that wasn't like a turn off. That wasn't like, ew, why do you talk like that? It was like, I was like, hell yeah. Like, we are so good. We put in the time. We do all this. Like, I should be able to say that. I should be able to feel confident in myself and say it if I want to. And so it was just like, yeah. I think that's where that like attitude came from. And just that overall confidence in myself was that team that I was surrounded by. Even Coley, she wasn't the vocal one, but like, if you got under her skin, I remember in travel ball, like, she'll put you in her place. Like,
yeah,
like, I'm good. Do you know how good I am in center field? Like she'll literally, like, she'll get you, like no, like, but, and that's like the worst, because if you get her to the point to say something, you're like, damn, I should have stopped. Yeah, like, I shouldn't have gone that far with her. But yeah, it's just, I would definitely say playing on that team and then having the coaches that I had, because if I accepted anything less than my best, or like just anything less than what our standard was, they just would kind of call you out, like you're okay with that, like, you're okay with that performance, like, you're not going to hit extra, like, you're not going to go do this. So it was kind of like checking myself, like, wow, I had a terrible game or a terrible practice. I should probably work on this, or I should probably fix this. So it was constantly a challenge every single day at practice. And like, we all embraced it. It wasn't like they tried to make it easy on us. Like, I could miss 3 ground balls in a row, and my coach would be like, it's okay, at least you're trying. And he would say that to piss me off. Like, and I'd be like, like, don't say that. Like, I don't want to hear that. And like, I'd be diving full of dirt, and he's like, oh, nice try. And I'm like, oh, like, I hate that. Like, anytime someone says nice try, I'm like, don't say that. I should have fielded it. I should have had it. Yeah. So
how did you end up at Michigan over, I mean, all the powerhouse softball programs that were out there?
So Coley was a big one. I really looked up to her on the team. I really liked how she held herself. Like I said, she wasn't a pushover, but she was also like quiet. And like, she just always got her job done. And, you know, I took a lot from her. I kind of just like watched her. The other person I really watched a lot was Cheyenne Coyle, which is like why I feel like I got a mix of the two, like when it came to like my personality on the field, because Cheyenne's very fiery. She's very feisty and everything else. But also, I know I probably get that from my mom and my dad as well. definitely from my mom. And so, you know, just watching her play. And when I found out she was going to Michigan, like, I just kind of started to look into it more, because I was like, okay, I really look up to her. Like, I like everything about her. I like how she handles herself. Like, she's such a good person. Like, I'm going to just look into them some more. And then I started doing some research, and I was like, this is a really cool school. Like, I would love to check them out. And then I went and watched them play. I think the first time I watched them play, I want to say it was like in Fullerton or something. Yeah. And I just was like, this team is awesome. Like, I loved the way they carried themselves. I loved the coaching staff. And, they finally came out to like something I was at. It might've been like a Power 50, like, recruiting thing. And then from there, they all of a sudden were at all my games. Like, I started seeing that Bright Maze shirt everywhere when I was at games, and I could see it when I was at second base or wherever I was playing. And I'm like, oh shoot, they're here. Like, I got to show out. And then finally I got invited to, like, an unofficial visit, and it was at one of their winter camps. And my dad had told me, like, you need to make a decision on, you know, top 3 schools you want to actually go visit, because we can't afford to take you to, like, you know, all of them. You got to pick, right, like, top 3, and then the rest are going to have to be like driving distance. And so I was like, okay. And Michigan was one of the top ones that I picked. And so went out, I visited, I went during the snow to make sure I could handle it, just being a California girl. And I loved it. I still loved it. And I was like, I definitely want to be here. So
I was going to say, bold move for them to fly you out in the snow. Like, you, they should have brought you in the fall.
No. I went out for the winter camp, and I was just kind of like not sure what to expect. Like, the only snow I'd really ever seen was like Big Bear, and half of it's fake. So, yeah. So I just was like not really sure. And I'm pretty sure it was like 10 degrees or something. So I was like, oh boy.
The only time you keep coming back too is like late fall and winter. I'm like, what are you doing?
Every time, literally. I mean, when I was there for the Ohio State game, cold, freezing.
The last couple times you came and stayed with us, like, there's nothing we can do because it's just snowing. Like, sorry, we'll go to the bar, I guess.
I do it on purpose. I'm like, let's just go to the bar and then let's watch movies at your place. Yeah. That's all I want to do. There you go.
Oh, man. Well, we appreciate you coming on. This has been awesome. I don't want to keep you too long here, but I feel like we could go on and on about a million stories here. Tell us, we'll end it with this. Tell us like one non-athletic story, like non-sports story from Michigan that you have as a memory.
Dang. A lot appropriate for this podcast.
I mean, there's nothing off limits for this.
Our podcast
is talking about some weird stuff. So yeah.
There is no filter.
Oh man.
I was gonna say there was a couple post Big Ten champs parties that were pretty fun.
I'm gonna say a quote. It came from pretty sure it was came out of Crummy's mouth. Oh, it was either Crummy or Ashley. And I think this was around the time when Hutch told me that I had to stop hanging out with them. Yeah. I remember I was a freshman. It was Liv and I were besties and we're hanging out every single day. And then we immediately attached to Crummy and Ash and we were with them like all the time, 24/7. And then
that's about when Crummy and Ashley I'll let you finish.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure that was probably when they got separated because they weren't allowed to like live together. And then I remember Hutch told me I need to stop hanging out with them so much. And I'm like, but I like them. They're fun. She's like, that's the problem. Stop hanging out with them. Oh, and I was like, Hutch, like what? And then she was like, I'm just kidding, but like, relax.
But also not, yeah.
Yeah. And then I just remember one night we were all walking. It was me, Liv, Crummy and Ash, and we talk about it all the time because we just laugh. And we were just walking, nobody was talking, and it was late. We were heading back to someone's house, and I just remember one of them turned and they were just like, you know, like if you want to like graduate and like be like good, you should probably stop hanging out with us. And we were like, like Liv and I kind of just like looked at each other, like what did she just say? And I don't know that it was that exactly. It was something along those lines. It was just like, yeah, you should probably stop hanging out with us. Like, this is not. And we were just like, no, like, we're fine. Like, we're totally good. Like, we're having a great time. And it was just, we just always laugh about it because it just was so genuine and it came out of nowhere. And it was probably one of the funniest, just authentic conversations that like, and we just laughed the rest of the way home. Like, I'm like, did you really just tell us to stop hanging out with you? Like, you're so dumb.
It's so on par. It's like, it makes so much sense too. And for everyone out there listening that don't know, Crummy is my fiance. So it makes like, it just all really makes way too much sense here.
Yes. Oh, she's a great time. Hey, you will always have fun with Crummy and Ash. She still is every single time, but it was so funny. That's something I will literally never forget. I will never forget that just because it just, you like most of the time, some like when someone says something funny like that, it's like set up, like you could tell it's coming. Like it was just so like, she was so serious. And Ash, I just remember Ash just kind of like a total mom, like,
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, I'll make my own decision, but thank you. Like, I'm gonna very much keep hanging out with you guys. Like, I'm not going anywhere. So
that's the perfect story to end this on. That is, I mean, that sums so much up. It sums so much up. I'm glad that you graduated. I'm glad that you figured some things out. Still had some fun as well. But yeah, we appreciate you coming on. I'm super excited for everything you've got going. Sponsorships, we'll break the news here coming soon. And then coming out to play for AU. When does that all start for AU? Is that coming up here in the summer?
It's actually, it's coming up fast. So June, I will be in San Diego. They're doing AUX as like a trial run, just to go to a different location. It's actually going to be at San Diego State. And that's only like 2.5 weeks, I think. So it's kind of short. Then we get 2 weeks off. And then the actual AU season starts July and it ends like end of August.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then are you doing any, are you done with like camps for right now and just focusing on that?
Yeah. For right now, I did all my camps. I'm really trying. I wasn't supposed to travel and now I'm in Oklahoma. And I also leave now the first weekend of May to Boston for a New Balance photo shoot. But that's my last. I'm not traveling after that because I sure. like I need to just stay home yeah. and get in routine.
I'll believe it when I see it.
But, yeah.
yeah, no, that's cool. It's going to be fun to watch you guys. You guys and AU's on TV, right? It's,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
What channel?
You know what? I think this year it will be on ESPN. Last okay. year it was CBS Sports and yep. YouTube, okay. like YouTube Live or YouTube. It was and like really great quality.
Live. I'll scroll through TikTok and they're yeah. like pro.
Their social media is like on point. Like super just cool. the clips that they get and all the action shots. Like they do such a freaking good job. Like I'm really excited about that because I haven't had that since college. Like
yeah.
that kind of just like social media present. And so yeah. I'm excited to be around for that. They have a lot of good people in their corner that do some great work. So I'm really excited.
I'm putting a futures bet down right now on you for MVP. Maybe, oh, actually, you and Sid, I'll put it down.
Okay.
I'll go half in. But
okay.
All right. Well, and then lastly, where can people follow you at?
I'd say the best one's probably on Instagram. That's probably the thing I keep up with the most. So yep. SierraJoy32.
All right. So go follow her there and check all their stuff out. We're excited to see what you've got going. It's like the comeback story right now. It starts. Yeah.
It starts now. Yeah. Yeah,
I love it. So we appreciate you. As far as us, you can follow us at BlueBy90 on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're on the Maize and Brew YouTube channel and podcast network as well. But we appreciate you. Go Blue.
Go Blue.
Go Blue.